Foul Play, a murder game played by people whose business is murder. And here to see Foul Play is your chairman, Simon Brett.
Hello, welcome to more unlikely crimes and even unlikelier solutions. Within the next half hour, you will witness a murder both committed and solved. What would Scotland Yard give for that kind of clear-up rate? Joining me to finger the villain this week are, as usual, two highly skilled professional crime writers. Liza Cody is the creator of two series, those featuring Anna Lee and Eva Wiley. Liza's co-investigator is Reginald Hill, who is also responsible for at least two series characters, the policeman D.L. and Pasco, and more recently, the black Luton-based detective Joe Sixsmith. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest investigators. And once again, this week's mystery will be peopled by a gallimaufry of witnesses, suspects, and a murderer, all represented by the manifold talents of Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. Right, now you've been introduced to everyone, it's time for a crime. Listen hard, everyone. Concentrate for clues as Maria reads us the opening of this week's mystery, Murder Before Matins.
As Sir Gervais de Pring lay on the truckle bed inside the monastery's infirmary, the note of his breathing changed. The fine, broad chest that had faced out the infidel hordes at Antioch heaved like the storm-tossed hull of a merchantman. The gnarled hand which had upheld a godly sword so many times against the Saracens now rose feebly, as if to pull some unseen constriction from his stringy neck. The old crusader was dying. Not from the recurrence of the ancient wound that had brought him to the infirmary, but from the contents of the horn goblet on the small table beside his bed. For to its soothing admixture of restorative herbs had been added the fatal leaves of that most beautiful of poisons, Lily of the Valley. A huge final breath forced its tortured way out of the old man's windpipe, and as he looked up into the pitiless eye of his murderer, he breathed the word Berengaria. The massive body shuddered, but once more, and then lay still.
Well, I don't think I'm giving too much away if I say our setting seems to be medieval and possibly even monastic. Guest investigators, has anything in that opening paragraph rung any church bells for you?
Yeah, I saw that episode a few weeks ago on television.
It's clear what you need is more information. So let's find out what's happening in the official investigations into the crime. Now, because the murder took place within the enclosed community of the Abbey of St. Cuthbert's, it's an internal inquiry, which is being conducted by Abbot Gwydion. Abbot, over to you.
I would not have known this to be a murder. I thought Sir Gervais de Pring full of years, anguished with the pain of an old wound in his groin and close to eternal bliss, had simply reached the end of his mortal race. But Brother Boniface was rendered suspicious by the agonized expression on the dead man's face. He then sniffed the remaining fluid in the horn goblet and said we must try it on the monastery cat. As we watched the cat expire of heart failure, then knew we there had been wickedness afoot. So, who would have had access to the infirmary where the sick man lay? Well, obviously Brother Boniface, who is our monastery's chief healer and apothecary. Then, whichever of the novices was on duty with him that day. It would have been the young man called Wilfred, a fine, fresh-faced novice on whose chin the down of boyhood still flourishes. The third person to visit the infirmary that morning was Abbess Tanglewine from the convent of St. Sexburger. True, women should not be allowed within the sacred portals of our monastery, but the abbess has strange skills of healing that have oft-times proved sovereign to our brothers. And she is a strong woman, whom few would gainsay. Also, she has endowed much money to our foundation. I inspected the naked body of the deceased knight, apart from such natural flaws and blemishes with which he had been born, like the red birthmark on his nether regions and the abscess in his groin that was being treated. The only other marks were scars around his wrists and ankles, but whence these came I wot not. As I know more, So shall ye hear it, God be wi' ye.
And God be wi' ye too, Abbot Gwydion. So, Liza and Reg, you've got a few more facts in the case. Do you find any of them even mildly helpful?
Well, scars around wrists and ankles, imprisonment, shackling, that sort of thing.
Yes, and this abscess in his groin, is this the abscess that makes the heart grow fonder?
I think rather the reverse, actually. Yes, you still haven't really got enough detail to go on, have you? I think it's time we found out more from three of the people involved in the case. And we'll start with a statement that was given to Father Abbott by the principal of the adjacent convent of St. Sexburger, Abbess Tanglewine.
I have not always been a nun. It was only after personal tragedies that I was drawn to the life of the convent. Not long after I heard that my husband, Sir Morton de Fretville, had died at the siege of Antioch, came a second grievous blow. I lost my only child, our daughter Berengaria, a pretty thing of but 2 years old. She was stolen away in the night from our castle. This was some 14 years ago. God knows where poor Berengaria's body lies. Somewhere deep beneath the surface of the unforgiving forest. So, to staunch the sorrows of a bleeding heart, I joined the convent of St. Sexburger. Yes, once there, I was fortunate to rise so soon to the eminence of abbess, above other more qualified candidates. But then my family does have private money. I still mourn my daughter, yes, and my husband too. But now, of course, I am the bride of one more mighty. I have never met Sir Gervais de Pring before he arrived, travel-soiled and weary, so at the Abbey of St. Cuthbert, some days ago, he had an old wound in his groin that had recently opened, and Brother Boniface sought my advice on his treatment. I know much of the vagaries of the human groin. So right readily did I inspect the knight's affliction and prescribe the standard remedy, a poultice of nettles, comfrey, St. Joseph's wort, and a maiden's petticoat. I did go to the infirmary the morning of Sir Gervais's death, but finding the old knight sleeping peacefully, did leave him undisturbed. I did not touch the ingredients of his soothing potion, nor did I mix it with hot water.
Thank you very much, Lady Abbess. Liza and Reg, you now have 2 minutes to cross-examine her.
Are you aware that the victim's last words were your daughter's name?
This I am told.
And did this ring any bells for you?
None whatsoever. I find it an extraordinary coincidence, but I've seen many extraordinary coincidences that our Lord sees fit to show us.
You're clearly very au fait with the medicinal and probably toxic characteristics of herbs and flowers.
I do seem to have been given a gift by God, and my hands are healing hands, especially, as I mentioned, in the groinal area.
Did you, during your ministrations to the old knight's groin, have a conversation with him?
Sir Gervais was mumbling and often had fever. Many times he mumbled in foreign tongues, and I was unable to decipher his exact words.
Did you ever hear your husband, who was also a Gala crusader, mention Sir Gervais?
No.
Lady Abbess, thank you very much for your forbearance. let us move on to our second statement, which was given to the abbot by the monastery's herbalist, Brother Boniface.
Early in the morning, straight after office of prime, I had prepared the ingredients for the soothing draught which was by the bed of the dead knight. In it was poppy juice to make him sleep, honey to soothe the dryness of his throat, and wild garlic to ease the regulation of his heart. No, I did not mix the drink. The mixture is most efficacious if drunk hot, and the good old knight was asleep. I left instructions on a wax tablet that whosoever should be with him when he awoke, then they should add hot water to the ingredients and give him to drink thereof. Yes, I know well the effects of Lily of the Valley. I have mastery of all herbs and plants. Oft-times is Lily of the Valley mistaken for wild garlic and cooked in soups, which prove fatal to their consumers. I would not make such a mistake, no. Wilfred the novice is a good youth, and I have taught him well in the mysteries of the herbalist. He would not confuse lily of the valley with wild garlic, I am sure. Aye, it is God's truth that before I became a Benedictine monk, I travelled as a crusader to the Holy Land in the year of our Lord 1096. No, I did not encounter Sir Gervais de Pring on my travels, but I remember the crusaders did number many thousands. It was when I grew sick of the butchery of war that I turned to God, exchanging the excitements of the active life for the more sedate blessings of the contemplative one. Well, yes, and another reason for my becoming a monk was a disappointment in love, but such earthly thoughts are now far behind me. May I leave now? The brother sacristan has a grievous flux of the bowels to which I must minister.
Yes, but I'm sure the flux can wait while you answer a few questions.
I'm not sure that it can.
Well, I'm afraid it's going to have to. Reg and Liza, you have 2 minutes to cross-examine Brother Boniface. Reg, maybe you'd like to kick off this time.
As a medical expert, did you draw any conclusions about the origin of the marks upon Gervais's wrists and ankles that you saw?
Well, they seem to have been placed there, probably obviously by some kind of restraint of some sort. I couldn't know exactly what. They didn't seem to be that recent to my eyes, though, of course, I'm not a great expert in that sort of thing. The herbs and plants of our Lord are my area of speciality.
Have you heard from any source of Sir Gervais actually being captured during the course of his crusading?
He mentioned something of it, yes, but he was in great fever much of the time, and it was difficult to discern what he was speaking of that was true and what was in his imagination. But from the marks upon his wrists, I would say that he may well have been imprisoned.
You mentioned having been disappointed in love.
Yes.
Could you tell me the name of the disappointment?
Well, though now a monk and have taken up holy orders, I still retain some of the chivalrous nature that took me to be a knightly person, and so I could not reveal the name of the cow that left me then. No, I could not.
I don't really know what hospital procedure was at the time, but did people ever bring flowers to sick people?
Indeed, often fragrant blossoms were brought in and around the sick bed. It would create a fragrance which was beneficial often to the patient and created a more pleasant atmosphere for them.
And lily of the valley, of course, is a very fragrant flower.
It is indeed, but very dangerous, and I feel it was something we would only use in a medicinal way, not in a decorative manner.
Oh, how would you use lily of the valley in a medicinal way, then?
Well, a very, very small amount in large, large dilutions of water can help earache.
Thank you very much, brother. And now we'll come to our third statement, which is given by the young novice who has only recently joined the order and is called Wilfred.
Yes, I do help Brother Boniface in the infirmary and in the herb garden too. He knows so much and patiently explains all to me. He lets me help crush the herbs with the pestle and mortar, and he has taught me the simplest of his remedies. When I am older, I would like to be a monk with Brother Boniface's healing skills. Have I heard of Lily of the Valley? Surely do I know it to be a flower of great beauty. But a poison? That I did not know. Yes, I do know wild garlic. It is a fine herb for many ailments, particularly for the regulation of the motions of the heart. Yes, I do have a high voice for a lad of my age. I can still sing sweet treble in the choir, but Brother Boniface tells me that my voice will change as my body changes. Why do I keep my face so deep within the shadow of my cowl? Why, such is the becoming modesty of a young novice in the presence of such fine gentlefolk as yourselves. On the morning of Sir Gervais Spring's death, after prime, Brother Boniface did bid me to the herb garden to pick some thyme and comfrey. When I arrived in the infirmary, he had already prepared the ingredients for the old knight's soothing potion. He told me to pour on hot water and administer the draught when Sir Gervais awoke. But I did not stay in the bedchamber. Brother Sacristan has a grievous flux of the bowels.
Thank you very much. I think we've had quite enough about Brother Sacristan's grievous flux. Guest investigators, you have 2 minutes to cross-examine Wilfred the novice. Liza, you begin this time.
How old are you?
I am 14.
Can you tell me who picked the garlic?
Brother Boniface is in charge of the herbs.
You have been instructed well enough to know the difference between garlic and lily of the valley.
Oh, indeed. One smells rather ghastly, and the other doesn't.
How long have you been in the monastery?
It is a very long time ago, so I can't remember. But I am merely the offspring of a humble charcoal burner and his wife. They could not afford to look after me, and one day on returning home, after picking berries in the forest, I found to my horror that they had moved.
At what age did you actually become a novice?
When I was 11.
And was it always understood that you were going to become a novice? Or did you have ambitions to become something else, like, say, a charcoal burner?
No, it is my ambition to become as humble and have the humility of Brother Boniface, to become a Benedictine monk.
Thank you very much, Wilfred. Your cross-examination is up there. Well, after that, you have a lot more information, though who can say of what quality it is. Liza and Reg, are you nearer to fingering the murderer of Sir Gervais de Pring?
I think so, yes. I think there are a lot of dirty habits in this monastery. I'm very suspicious about this Wilfred the novice.
Mm. Liza, are your suspicions moving in the same direction?
Is he really a boy? That's what I want to know.
Well, and with that cowl so heavily over the face, it's difficult to say.
Precisely.
Well, thank you very much. It's a real privilege for me to see how your minds work. Now, for the next stage of our investigation, we have to... good heavens. A dove has just alighted on my desk. And gracious me, there's a small canister attached to its leg. Let me just get that off and I'll... sorry. Now, if I open this canister, there's a piece of paper on which appears to be a pointer to some new evidence. Yes, it says...
If thou the secret of this crime wouldst own, go and ask the ancient charcoal burner's crone.
So I'll do that. Excuse me, are you the ancient charcoal burner's crone?
Aye, that I be.
How very convenient. And what do you have to tell us?
'Tis for no reason but that I be on my deathbed that I do make this confession. Near 35 years ago I speak of, when the lord of the manor did have his wicked way with me.
That would be Sir Morton de Fretville, would it?
Aye, to be sure. I'd know him anywhere by the red birthmark on his right buttock that be shaped strangely like a raspberry. And I did bring forth his son, a fine boy that was the apple of his mother's eye, until... the Lord de Fretville did take my bonny lad away to the Crusades, and there did he let my boy to perish at the hands of the infidel.
Oh, dear.
So I had my revenge. There be an old proverb, let he who takes away the child of an ancient charcoal burner's crone look to his own offspring. So I crept in the castle at night, and I did steal away the Lord de Fretville's child, and did bring her up as my own.
Well, I'm afraid that's all the new evidence you're going to get. Still, it has rather changed the complexion of things, hasn't it? Maybe a few well-placed questions can winkle out the truth. Now, you're each allowed one question to each of the people who gave statements before. Who would you like to call first?
I think the abbess, please. When my partner here cross-questioned you. She said that Sir Gervaise's last words was your daughter's name, and how did you explain this? You said, yes, you understood that this was so, but you found it very hard to explain. How did you know it was so unless you were there?
I was told by the abbot.
Have you been told that an old charcoal burner's crone claims to have abducted your daughter?
I know of the lady's claims, but I have to say that I am familiar with the old crone who is now dead, and I fear her brain has been abducted by the devil.
Who would you like to call now? You can call Brother Boniface or Wilfred the Novice.
I don't think I could bear Wilfred just now.
Brother Boniface.
We'd better the brother. Could you believe that someone like the abbess could be capable of murder?
The abbess?
Yeah.
I would not think so. She is a most holy woman and has tended to the monks with great care and love through many years. I could not think her capable of murder, but of course, humans are complex and wonderful creatures as created by our Lord, and so who knows what they are capable of.
How old are you?
I am 39 years old.
Brother Boniface, thank you very much. Wilfred, it may be that they have questions for you.
Wilfred, when you spoke to Sir Gervaise when he was lying ill in bed, I mean, did he say anything to you which struck you particularly?
He mumbled, sir, quite often. I was told by Brother Boniface to give him the infusion when he awoke.
Yes. And what did he say when he awoke?
He mumbled the word, as I think somebody has already told you, Berengaria.
Liza, do you have a question for Wilfred?
Yes, I want to know about your mother. Did she seem to be really to be a simple charcoal burner's wife?
Madam, I never viewed my mother as simple. I loved her in the same way I now love Brother Boniface and the other monks. They are my family now.
Right. That is it, I'm afraid, Reg and Liza. I'm sure you haven't got nearly enough information, but that's all you're getting. And armed with that pitiful store, you now have to answer the great whodunit question. You don't have to agree, but you do have to commit yourselves. Liza, who do you reckon killed Sir Gervaise de Pring?
I think it must be Wilfred the Novice, frankly. Basically, I think this is one of those sagas which go back generations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he is the long-lost child of somebody who I will figure out in a minute.
Yep.
And who is avenging dastardly deeds done in the Saracen
past.
War. Yes.
Yes. Reg.
Oh, it's quite obvious, actually. It's the abbess.
The abbess.
Yeah. I mean, what happened was this, that Gervaise went off to the Crusades.
Yes.
And he got imprisoned.
Yes.
In the same prison was Sir Morton.
Uh-huh, right.
Yes, and they swapped identities. In fact, Gervaise is really Sir Morton.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Was.
And is. He's still up there.
Yes. Yes.
The abbess, when she was ministering to his groin, if she didn't recognize his groin, she thought there's something familiar about this groin, she thought. And then she saw the red birthmark, and she realized
right.
that this was the bastard who'd been so bad to her in the past. And she decided to knock him off.
Right.
He opened his eyes, he looked up, and he saw this face looking down at him. And he thought it was his daughter, you see, because the daughter would very much resemble
yes.
the mother. So
yes.
this is why he uttered the mother's name.
Oh.
So she killed him, because, of course, she's got a good thing going for her.
Yeah.
She might have something going with her with Brother Boniface as well. A good thing. She's got a good career in the church.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want this guy coming back and messing it all up. In any case, what the hell? I mean, he's been away. She's got the insurance.
Yes, yes.
I agree about the double identity in the prison, the swapping identities in the prison. But I think Berengaria must be Will's mum.
Well, I think we could conjecture for a long time about this, but I think it's time to find out whether you're right or wrong, because we're about to hear this week's Foul Play, Foul Playlet. Lee and Maria will waft us painlessly back through 8 centuries to the infirmary of the Abbey of St. Cuthbert.
Who's there?
'Tis only I, Sir Gervaise, the abbess. Come to look at your abscess. Here, let me move the coverlet. But what is this mark I see upon your white buttock? shaped almost in the likeness of a raspberry.
Ah, I wondered how long it would take you to recognize me, my lady.
Sir Morton!
Yes, my fine wife, Sir Morton de Fretville. Given up for dead these many years, incarcerated by the barbarous Saracen, but now escaped. And come here in disguise as Sir Gervais de Pring to claim my rights as a husband.
Oh, unhand me, sir! It is not seemly to touch one in holy orders.
Sure. You were under my orders first, my fine filly, and those are the ones you will obey.
No, I cannot. You have no idea how wonderful these last years have been without any of your vile, disgusting sexual fumblings. Ah, Sir Morton, you will never touch me again. I will fetch the hot water for your soothing potion.
And then you'll come and join me in my little truckle bed, eh?
No!
Sure. It is a fact acknowledged through the centuries that women always say no when they mean yes. Who are you? What do you want?
I am Wilfred the Novice, sir. I heard you are awake and have brought hot water to mix your soothing potion.
Oh, then mix it for me, boy. Just a moment. Come here, boy.
Sir?
If boy you be.
I understand you not, sir.
Nay, with your high voice, your mincing movements, your unstubble chin, we'll soon see the truth. Ah, if I tear the habit from you, boy, then will you stand revealed in all your beauty as a... boy. Sorry, easy mistake to make. I just saw her.
Father Abbott warned me about men like you.
Oh, dear. I'm still sure I'm going to find Berengaria one day. Ah, good morrow. You know, Brother Boniface, I am so confused.
Then drink a little of this soothing potion. Twill ease your mind.
Wilt?
Aye, twill. I mix the ingredients myself.
Then thank you, good brother. Mm. This will bring me peace.
'Twill bring you lasting peace. Mm.
Good. Brother, wouldst thou kill me?
Aye, verily.
But why?
Why? Because I'm so bloody bored. Have you any idea how boring it is being a monk? Same every bloody day. You can't get on with anything. The minute you settle down with a nice illuminated manuscript, you have to go off on another bloody service. And as for looking after the herb garden, that's even more boring. That's him sorted. Now, who shall I knock off next? The abbot, maybe. Oh, well, it brings a bit of excitement into a dull life.
Well, guest investigators, you have both scored nul point. You never thought of the boredom motive, did you? You feel positively cheated, do you?
Yeah.
Actually,
you do.
Yes.
Yes, really? I feel it was pretty immoral. And this is a holy subject as well.
You think I should feel really guilty?
Yep.
Yep. Well, I don't. right. My thanks go to our splendid cast of clerics, whose performances I'm sure will send lots of people rushing to a life of contemplation and chastity, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. And thanks also to this week's astute but cheated guest investigators, Liza Cody and Reginald Hill.
Foul Play was devised and written by the chairman, Simon Brett. The producer was Liz Anstey.